I think maybe I should open us in a little prayer and we'll get started. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this night, and thank you for the privilege of being able to connect even in times like this where we feel so isolated. We pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit and through one another and through your scriptures, and we pray that you would help us to reflect on what it means to be your ambassadors in our homes and our neighborhoods. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
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 Okay. So, let's see if I can share this real quick. I hear somebody's puppy.
Jim, do you still have your dog?
I do still have my dog.
This is the dog.
There we go.
But my dog is, I don't know where my dog is right now. He's probably outside.
But it's going well?
It's going great. We love the dog. He is a wonderful animal.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. Okay. So last week, just because a reminder where we're at. So last week we began this conversation called Church in Our Street. We're going to talk this week about supporting our street and what that looks like. And this is a curriculum I actually have purchased from Alex and Hannah Absalom, who have a ministry called Dandelion Resourcing. That's just fantastic. And I'm really excited where this is going to take us over the next few weeks. So briefly, as we talked last week, I just want this to be our big picture thought. What would it look like for our home and our oikos? Remember, oikos is the Greek word for household, to be the church on your street. So if we owned, especially in this season of COVID-19, but even other times as well, if we owned a responsibility to be the church for our street, as Covenant is the church for our community, what would that look like? And last week, we sort of gave you a little outline of where we're going in this conversation. So last week, we began by talking about prayer. We're going to talk tonight about supporting our street, and next week about service to our street, and then we'll have a conversation about being the spiritual person on our street, and then we're going to have a very practical prayer outreach idea that we might try out. So I'm excited about where this is going to take us. Briefly, as a reminder from last week, when we talked about the responsibility of prayer as one of the most important things the church does. And we mentioned three big contexts of prayer: our personal devotionals, household prayers, which might be just me, or it might be, you know, if I have a spouse or children, it could be a larger group of people praying together. And then we talked about the idea of prayer walking, either your home or especially your street, your neighborhood, and praying for businesses and people and schools and families and everybody as you walk around, and sort of giving that space and those people to God. If you missed that last week, there are some great videos on our blog that walk you through how to do those prayer walks. We also talked last week in this season about some particular areas of focus in prayer that we might want to hold up as we go about this season of COVID-19. And so we talked about praising God. We talked about praying for the end of the disease, recognizing that it's God who will ultimately be the one who does that. We talked about asking that the church especially would live in faith, not in fear. We prayed for supernatural healing, economic vitality, those in healthcare and government, and advancement of the kingdom of God. That's kind of where we were last week. So this week, I want to change. Oh, and I'm sorry. And we had a lot of scripture about prayer, but I love the idea of praying expectantly and persistently. And so we have this verse from Mark 11 where Jesus says, "Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours." And sometimes I think, you know, we pray and we're super hesitant. Well, you know, I don't want to bother you, God. God says, no, I want you to bother me, right? I want you to ask. I want you to ask. Okay, so this week, I want to think a little bit about what it looks like to support our street. And I really have one big takeaway that's, I think, very practical. I'm going to encourage us all to think about doing. And that's building online community. So I want to encourage us to think about starting an online support group for our street. And I want to encourage us to do that because it's a very simple way to build community. I'm convinced that like in this season with this COVID-19 shutdown, yes, absolutely, the disease is scary and serious. And yes, absolutely, we have to be aware of, hold on 1 second, I'm gonna see if I can't help you out here. No, I can't because I've lost my mouse. There we go. I'm just gonna mute everybody so that we don't get all that extra sound. If you wanna speak up, that's totally fine. Just unmute yourself and then you can start talking. No, I can't make this go away. I'm sorry, we're having a little technical difficulties here. There we go. So I'm convinced that yes, absolutely, the disease itself is a serious concern for us in the midst of this season. And obviously there are economic concerns with the shutdown of our community. But I think isolation is a pretty big concern too. And I think, you know, it is really hard for us all to be shut up in our homes and unable to go out and see people and do things like our normal life. And, you know, I'm always reminded in the first chapter of Genesis, when God makes the world, he makes the light and he calls it good. He makes the sky and he calls it good. He makes the dry land and he calls it good. Makes humans and calls us very good. And then he says, it is not good for man to be alone. And so I really think in this season, we are even perhaps more alone than we've been, and it's not good. And so I think we as a church have a responsibility and an opportunity in this season to reflect on what it means to be community for the people outside our doors, the people that are our immediate neighbors or our the folks live in our building or whatever it might be. And I, rather than seeing this as purely a negative thing, I think, hey, maybe this is an opportunity that God is opening for us, a door that God's opening for us to do some really exciting ministry. Because there's a felt need right now. I think people recognize a need for connection, maybe more than they do when they're able to have their normal, frantic, busy lives. So we can't do that community face-to-face very often. We can do a little bit of it face-to-face when we're 6 feet apart. But this is an opportunity for us to work on some significant community. So we're going to talk about this tonight, what this might look like. So I want to begin by saying, if we're going to create any kind of connectivity online in our neighborhoods, on our streets, in our buildings, we have to define the culture of that connectivity, right? We need to establish what we're trying to do for these people that Christ has placed us next to. So I think people really need positive, encouraging, hope-giving community right now, right? We're getting plenty of negative stuff on the news. We need to go someplace where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. I mean, we need to go someplace where people feel some hope and some encouragement. So if we create these sort of little online communities, that's got to be key, right? We've got to be able to bring something positive to it. And then my hope is, because I'm going to try to do this too, my hope is that there's some real relationship building that happens. I'm not looking for another few Facebook friends, because that's the last thing I need. I don't even really like Facebook, let's be honest. I'm looking for an opportunity to build some relationships now, maybe via social media or whatever, so that when this is over, I can build upon those and make them into real, more meaningful connections when life gets back to normal. So if we're going to go about this process of trying to reach out to our communities and bring people together in a meaningful way, obviously we got to start with prayer. So I just want to encourage you to be thinking about some basic prayer points, right? That neighbors will welcome the plan, that we'll be seen as offering something positive, that conversations will naturally follow, that technology will work, and that this is really for God's glory, right? It's not just something crazy we're doing, but it's an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. So really briefly, because my goal is to have a lot of time for y'all to talk in groups tonight, I have four very quick steps about how we might go about creating these virtual communities in the midst of the shutdown. The first one is to define your street. So I don't know what your street looks like. Your street might be an apartment building. Your street might be a neighborhood with 50 houses. Your street might be, I live, and then it's 150 yards, 300 yards, 400 yards before you get to the next house. So you got to define what your street is. The Absaloms suggest that there's a little bit of a Goldilocks thing here where you don't want it to be too big or too small. So if you pick a community that's just enormous, you're going to have a hard time building meaningful relationships. If you pick just the four houses that border your house, you're not going to have enough resources and connectivity to really be able to support each other in meaningful ways, which is what we hope will happen. So the Absalom said that they were looking at about a 55 house range. Actually, I'll show you what I'm going to do, but I'm looking at something that's a little bit larger than that because I don't expect all those houses will jump in. But I'm looking at basically my street, which is a horseshoe, and then the street on either side of mine, and then Yawkey Avenue, which kind of connects us all. So you got to literally define what community you're trying to be praying for and reaching. I think you can do this in non-geographical groups, right? So it might be, hey, I've got this great community that plays golf together and we can't do that anymore or for a while. And so maybe I create a group like that. It doesn't just have to be your physical neighbors, right? Don't be legalistic about it. So if you make a group that's for golfers and one of your friends wants to be involved who's not a golfer, don't say, sorry, buddy, you're not worthy. And likewise, if you're doing something that's a geographic area, don't say, hey, sorry, your house is two streets down, so you can't be part of this. So figuring out who you're trying to reach out to, a pretty basic beginner step. Second step is set up the group online. And I know this is going to be a hurdle for anybody that doesn't know a lot of Facebook stuff. I haven't done a lot of Facebook stuff. I got to tell you, I did this in like 30 seconds. It was super easy. I'll show you how. So I'm recommending Facebook. You could pick another platform. There's a great messaging program on your phone called WhatsApp you could use. The reason I picked Facebook was because I think so many people use it already, right? And most of us have Facebook accounts, and it's a pretty easy tool. It also has the possibility, hopefully, of being a longer term connection with the neighbors on our street. And then I'm going to walk you through this, but there's basically some really simple steps, right? You're going to pick a group name and a photo, set a privacy level, write a group description, and post something. So I did all this in about 15 minutes this afternoon, and about 10 minutes of that was trying to get a picture I liked of my street. So I just want to show you what this looks like really quick, so that you have some comfort level of what this might be. And hold on, where's my video? Is that it? Oh, there we go. Okay. So this is my screen of me setting this up earlier today. And actually it took me a minute and 38 seconds. So from Facebook, I hit create and I went to the group menu and I put a name in and I misspelled the name of my street like three times because, give me a break, typing is hard. And I just called it Yawkey Greenwood neighborhood because I thought that sort of described where we were. I added people. I just started by adding my wife. Just FYI, she has not accepted my request yet, so we'll see how that goes. And it was already set to private and visible, which is what I wanted. Private means people have to ask to be a part of it. Visible means anyone can find it, right, which is what I'm looking for. Hit create, bada boom, bada bing, you've got a group. And then I had already taken a photo of my street. Your photo might be of your golf club or whatever, I don't know. And I just uploaded that photo just like that. And in a matter of seconds, I had a beautiful picture of my neighborhood for the background photo, and hit save. And then the last thing I did was I posted a description. So it took me a while to figure out where that was, but you go over here to where it says about on the top left-hand corner. No, Jim, top left-hand corner. Jim, I'm talking to you, top left, thank you. And then it says add a description, and I'd already typed my description out, so I pasted it in there and hit confirm. And then you're done, right? All of a sudden, that's all it took for me to have a Facebook group for my neighborhood. Right? Super easy. By the way, this video will get posted on our blog as well if you, like me, need a step-by-step thing. I'll have that up there for you, okay? So super duper easy to do. And now all of a sudden, I've got something I can invite people to be a part of. So third step, obviously, is to invite people to be a part of it, right? So I'm going to write a physical letter. I mean, I'm going to talk to some people and text some people and call people that I know. But I'm going to write a physical letter and probably drop it off in people's mailboxes and say, hey, it's Jim from 205. And I'm wondering if you'd like to do this with me. I've got a little Facebook group I've created. It might be a neat way for us to connect. If you'd like to join, here's how you do it. By the way, I've got on the blog that you can find an outline of what that letter could look like, right? So you don't have to reinvent the wheel. You can just put in your names and please put in your phone number. They don't all need to call me for your group. Okay. You can mail that. You can email that. Maybe you've got a condo association, right? And you can just send an email out to the condo association. You could text it out, whatever, just getting the word out that it exists. You know, I have neighbors that I know much better than others. And so I'll talk to those neighbors and say, hey, will you tell those people and will you tell those people and get the word around? And I'm hoping, in fact, I have a few people in mind in my immediate neighborhood. I think there'll be people that are excited about this. And so I'm going to find those people first and say, would you help me? Like, I think you'd be awesome. Would you help me be a part of this group and invite people to be involved? And also, maybe you want to help me moderate it, right? If you do Facebook and you're familiar with Facebook, I don't really like Facebook very much. Would you be one of the moderators for our little group and help through that process? Once I've got my little letter out there and I've started inviting people, hopefully, you know, I get some hits. There's no critical mass that you have to have. So if I get 10 people in my neighborhood of 60 houses, I'll be delighted. And if I get more, I'll be even more delighted. But any hit like that is somebody that's looking for connection and community, especially in this season. And so even if it's me and three or four people, I'll be excited. But I'm kind of trying to cast my net wide. Okay. And then the last step, obviously, is you have to post something to your group on a regular basis, right? So there's nothing worse than a dead Facebook group. So if you join a group and no one ever posts anything, it's negative press, right? It's, oh yeah, that thing that Jim Gates did that was, I got all excited about it and then it was totally a letdown. Yeah, I'm never going to do anything with Jim Gates again, right? So you have to have some kind of plan about posting on a regular basis. And I think you could be talking about every other day, doesn't have to be every day, but pretty regular. And it can be a sentence or two, right? You don't have to write a sermon every week. So hope you're all doing great. Everybody healthy out there, done, right? Or, hey, I heard this great joke this week, here it is, or whatever, right? One of the things that I'm gonna do is I'm gonna encourage other people to post a lot too. So some of those folks that I know that are gonna be excited about this idea in our community, I'll say, hey, would you please take a leading role? And you know, whenever you've got something encouraging or positive or upbeat to talk about, please, please post that. And then I'll respond and say, oh, thanks for doing that. What a great point. I totally agree. The other thing I'm going to do is I'm going to try to keep a little repertoire of things to talk about. So I don't have to come up with something every day. I'm going to say, hey, you know what? Kay Smith sent me this great link this week. I'm going to save that and I'll post that in my Facebook group. Hey, Tom Rosinski sent me these jokes. I really like this one. I'm going to post it in my Facebook group, right? So I'm sort of constantly looking for positive, encouraging, interesting, helpful stuff to put out there. Now, while I'm doing that, I'm also encouraging people to talk about things that are meaningful, right? So, and this goes in both the description of your group, but also in the letter that you send out. Hey, tell me about, you know, if you have a need, if you have a practical need, like, the plumbing and my kitchen sink isn't working. Does anybody in the neighborhood know how to fix that? That's awesome. Please post that. What a great way for us to be good neighbors if somebody knows how to come fix that. I'm just really stressed right now and I'm wondering if anybody else is feeling like I'm feeling. Yeah, great question. That's a great way to connect. And so both my invitation letter, the description, and some of the things I'm going to say will emphasize, hey, this is a safe place to ask for help for things. And it's also a safe place to talk about like practical needs or relational needs or spiritual needs, right? So you might say, hey, I need prayer for this. Awesome. I will be the first person to commit to pray for you. Okay, so I'm trying to go through this fast so you have a lot of time to talk. I think this is pretty basic, but just a reminder. So I'm talking about four really simple steps in an attempt to support our street. The first is to find who the community is that I'm trying to reach. The next is to set up my group online and then invite people to be a part of it in my community, and then post and respond regularly. And the hope in all of this is that we'll develop some real relationship stuff happening, even in the midst of this virus. The virus is a felt need, and the isolation is a felt need, which makes this maybe more possible than it might normally be. But this would be valuable anytime, right? I wish I already had this with my neighbors. So it's a great gift either way. This is also going to be a tool. We'll talk about this in the next few weeks, that we can do other ministry with, right? And so, but our goal as to being church on our street is just to be church, right? How do we help our street have good community, know each other, feel loved, feel connected? And I think this is a really simple, really easy way to go about that. I want to stop for a minute there. So I do have the website right there that you can see is the blog. And all the notes from this class are up there, including a demo of the letter that you might send out, a demo of a description, the video on how to post to Facebook, create a Facebook group. All that stuff is there available for you. So you really can almost cut and paste things. It's pretty simple. I want to stop for a minute and I'm sorry. And how do I get back to you guys? I lost you. There you are. Hi. And I want to just see what questions people have about this. It's a pretty simple idea, with I think some pretty significant potential. What questions do people have? Do you already have something like this going on in your community already? If so, how does that work? And what's good or bad about that? Thoughts or comments from people?
You know, I've seen something that's very active in Florida called, I think it's called Nextdoor or something like that, that's an app.
Yes.
And you can only have one location. So Gina actually looks at that occasionally, and she set that up on, you know, with my email so we could have one up here. And it's not very active. I mean, it's, you know, do you want to buy my doTERRA product? You got a babysitter. You know, I look at it maybe once a week. I'm not a Facebook person by any means, but I mean, and I don't think I would do what you're describing personally, but boy, there's a lot of aspects of that you can certainly do.
Yeah.
You know, we like to walk. You know, if you run into somebody, just talk to them face to face. You don't have to work, you know, wait for something to pop up on Facebook or, you know, an email to, you know, just ask how you're doing.
Right.
So I think the awareness of it is an awesome idea. The method isn't something that, you know, I don't do much Facebook, but, you know, every month I swear I'm going to drop it, you know, type of thing. It's just not my method.
Yeah. And I personally
pull water on the idea, because if it is, it's really, it's what you do with it. You know, but I think
agree.
You can put it in other ways too.
I agree. No, actually, I personally hate Facebook. So this is the first time I've been on Facebook in about a couple of months. And I go on it about once a month, because I have messages and I have to check those messages, and that's it. So I think Facebook has a lot of value for this sort of thing, but I don't think it needs to be Facebook, right? It could literally be a text message chain, right? I mean, if you have the cell phone of the numbers of people in your area, and you just send a mass text message to the 5 or 6 or 7 people you know, saying, hey, how are you doing? It could be as simple as that. I'm glad you mentioned Nextdoor, because I forgot to mention that earlier. So there is an app called Nextdoor that is supposed to be a neighborhood app, and I use it. It's helpful. The reason I'm not encouraging us to use Nextdoor for this sort of ministry is because I think we really need to set the tone, right? We need to be able to set the tone that, hey, this is about, you know, supporting each other and being good neighbors. And I read stuff on Nextdoor all the time that just gets nasty, right? Like, I'm so angry at whoever that was who did this horrible thing last night and left the poop on my yard or whatever else. And that's not what we're looking for, right? So I think having some control over this piece is important. And that's why, whether it's a text message that you send or whatever else, I think we want to make sure we keep it positive. Great, good points, Gary. Thank you.
Say, Jim, this is Ruth. You know, not having read the stuff that you said is out there, to invite people, you know, one of the things you're talking about is that a focus would be some prayer. So approaching people, so that's one thing to join the group with a pastor. it might be a little harder to say, let's all get together to support each other in prayer if you're not a pastor. So how to kind of either ease into that. You have to be upfront that, you know, that you're going to pray for people, but what do you think?
That's a really good point. That's a really good point, Ruth. Yeah. So I guess I would articulate it this way. I wouldn't say this is a group for prayer support. Because it's not the main intent. I'm going to be praying for you whether you're in the group or not. the intent is really, you know, how can we be good neighbors to each other? How do we encourage each other when we have a need? How do we help each other meet the need? How do we make sure, you know, my next door neighbor, her husband passed away last year in like December. And she's older and her children don't live in the area. And, you know, because of COVID-19, I don't see her very much. How do I make sure that she's okay, right? Or if she needs something, I mean, she has my number and I have her number, but if she didn't, right, how could she reach out and say, hey, I need some help? Or if she couldn't get a hold of me, how could she reach, you know, the whole community and say, hey, somebody's got to come and help with my leaves because there's no way I can handle them and that sort of thing. So I think it's very practical. I guess what I want to do is leave the door open for spiritual things to happen. So I wouldn't say this is a prayer ministry. I would say this is just a way of being good neighbors to each other. But if you have a need, whether that's a practical need like plumbing or leaf raking, or whether that's a relational need, like, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm going crazy and I need somebody to talk to for 5 minutes, or somebody to walk my dog so I can get some work done or whatever else, or a spiritual need, right? Those are all okay. And I think even just saying, oh, or a spiritual need opens the door for something, right? For somebody to say, oh, okay. Jim did mention when he invited us to this that was okay. Maybe I do have something like that. And maybe I want to bring something up. I think it's probably better if I don't lead with that, right? So my first post is not going to be, please pray for me about this. But boy, I know people in the community and in my neighborhood who probably will post, please pray for me about this, and that's wonderful. And then I'll be able to respond, I'd be delighted to pray for you about that.
Thank you.
Yeah, great question.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. Other questions for the whole group? Okay, so here's what I wanna do. I wanna break you guys up into breakout rooms again. And I'm gonna try this real hard. I haven't done this super well in the past, but I've got some discussion questions for y'all to do together. And I think I can broadcast those to everyone. Joel Fenimore, will you do me a favor, brother? I'm gonna, when I get ready in these groups and I hit broadcast to all, I'm just gonna text you a message. Will you just say, yes, we saw the questions, or no, we didn't? Okay.
Will do.
I'm learning the technology still. So you'll get sent to a breakout room. I've got some discussion questions for you to talk about with folks in your room there for a little while. And then I'll bring us all back together at the end. We can sort of share our thoughts and insights. And I'm going to stop a recording now because I don't want to record your conversations in your rooms. So pause recording now. Okay, welcome back. By the way, we are recording again. So. Just, you know, so you know. I'm curious about just any feedback you guys have from your conversations about what community exists already, or other ways you'd like to help form community in your neighborhoods or with other groups. What came up in your conversations?
Well, the fact that we don't know our neighbors as well as we think we do.
Yeah. Right, absolutely. I completely agree. Yeah, I think I'm probably in the same boat. Uh-huh.
And how years ago it used to be so different. It, you know, all your kids knew everybody and you knew all their parents and, you know, but nowadays everybody's a little more cautious.
Right, right.
And how do you do this when you're such an introvert?
Yeah.
We're trying to break Sue out of her shell. Don't do that.
So you just take Ace with you when you go to talk to people and you're fine. Yeah.
Go to the dog.
Ace park. Knows a lot of people. I don't.
There you go. See, hey, just introduce yourself like that. I'm with Ace. I'm with Ace.
I'm with Ace.
I think when you have a dog, you really do attract attention when you have a pup and taking a walk. Because yeah. When we had our dog, there were people that we knew, but I mean, they were all over the dog. I mean, you know. Right. So that's kind of a neat way, Sue, just to
our people. Just our people on my street just aren't out.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
They're just not out. And like I was
make some cookies. Some cookies and bring them over.
You're not in my neighborhood.
If you're making cookies, I'll be your neighbor, Sue.
Not in my neighborhood. And like I was telling my group, you know, my life hasn't really changed because of this COVID-19. I mean, I'm still working 8 to 5. I come home and I do my stuff like I've always done. I clean, you know, I do my basic cleaning on the weekends and, you know, I make grocery shopping very, very fast, which is kind of not normal, but I do go grocery shopping on the weekends. So my life really hasn't changed because of COVID-19.
Yeah. And it's interesting to think about, you know, there's a significant slice of the population that's like that, right? That, you know, things have changed, but not everything. And right. Then you got people where it's like, well, I don't go to work anymore. And,
right.
You know, it's not everybody experiences this the same way. I think that's an important point.
Our group was talking about mailing letters. And I just thought I'd bring up to the group that, whatever county you're in, whether it's Marathon County or Lincoln County, that the county has a GIS mapping site that you can go on and you can find out the names. You can just click on a property and you can find out the name of the owner and their address, and you can create a mailing list really easily. And it's almost like spying on people, but it's public knowledge and it's on every county website. So if you just go to your county and type in GIS, which is Geographic Information System, you can get to an online map and you can find that information out.
I didn't know that. That's really helpful. So you go to Marathon County, for example, and type in GIS.
Yes.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. I could, and if you can't find it or you're not sure how to navigate it, just call me.
I'll call you.
Email and I'll walk you through it. Because I,
awesome.
Call her.
It's a good thing. Yeah.
Just trade her for some cookies.
I think at one time you could go to the, and you still could, you could go to the courthouse and get that. But I didn't realize that they have that online component, so it's right there.
Hey, I've got a couple of people on my street I've been friendly with for about 3 years, and I don't know their name. So I'm going to go and see who they are.
You can find it out. You can't find out their kids' names, but you can find out their names.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay, great. Awesome.
They'll give you a job tonight.
Linda, I saw you talking earlier, but you were on mute. Were you talking to us? Yeah, you're still on mute.
Is everyone playing this
little... I was just saying that when we were talking about the differences that Tom and Gail and I had there at my house, so we were having dinner, and we were talking about how this certainly affects us because we're limited as to where we go, but because we're retired, it really, and I am a homebody, it really hasn't changed my life any much more than it has yours, Sue. So, I mean, I don't like it, but it is, it's not difficult. So I find myself praying for those people who do have difficulty with this and have places to go or children and whatever. But it's different for everybody.
It is. That's a really good point. Yeah.
It's different when it's elective rather than when it's something that you have to do.
Right. And I've always been a loner, but then to be told, okay, you got to be by yourself, that's what's getting me, you know. And I can't just say, okay, this weekend I'm going to go down to Dubuque, Iowa, where my parents live. You know, I can't do that right now. So that's the only part that's kind of messing me up. But other than that.
One of the things that's been interesting, I know I'm out of time. One of the things that's been interesting for me, and we'll talk about this next week a little bit, has been how often, so I'm obviously not home during the day most of the time. And I'm home during the day all the time now. And so, you know, I'll go outside and I'll play baseball with the kids, or I'll take the dog for a walk in the middle of the day. And I see all these other people that are normally not home in the middle of the day, walking around and doing those things. And we have great conversations and we stay 6 feet apart. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I found out today, one of my neighbors is going to have to get rid of their dog because the dog bit their child. And it led to all this. I mean, that wasn't happy, but it led to great conversation. And I thought, you know, boy, I would like to have it like this all the time, where I could have these conversations, meaningful conversations with people sort of effortlessly, but it's not. And actually for me, something, whether it's online or whatever, some kind of formal community is going to be more useful for me when we go back to normal than it is now. Because right now I'm having better community with my neighbors than I've ever had.
Right.
And yeah. I know when I go back to normal life, I'm going to be too busy to be walking around in the middle of the day and running into people and finding out their problems. So, you know, I really do think whether it's good or bad or indifferent, it is an opportunity. It is a moment where people are, where normal life is shaken up enough that people might be willing to do new things and meet new people and make new friendships. And I think it's an opportunity for us, however we do it, whether it's online or in person or something totally different, to think about what it means to be community creators for our neighborhoods. I'm so sorry, but I need to pray for us and let you go. So here's what I'm going to do. We'll put this recording on our website. The notes from the class are already up there, as well as that little Facebook blog. I would love, if you have some suggestions of other ways to be working on community, especially during this time, shoot me an email.
When I was telling Gary is that I carry a bag of blacktop filler for the potholes and walk up and down the street with that.
Hey, you would be everyone's best friend in a heartbeat.
Right.
And actually, I was hoping you might move closer to me. That'd be great. But seriously, I mean, if you have some ideas like that, it's helpful to share. And then I might find a way to push those out to the group maybe next week. And then next week, we're going to talk about service to our street. So real tangible, what can we be doing to help people in our community, especially once we've figured out who they are and what their needs are. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's close in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the privilege of this time. It doesn't always feel like a privilege, but we know that somehow in the midst of this situation, your kingdom is advancing. And so that's what we give you thanks for, Father. We give you thanks for the advancement of your kingdom and the privilege of being a part of that. And we pray you'd help us to find our way to know how to move your kingdom forward right where we are, right where we live. We pray especially for all of our neighbors, all of our friends, and the folks we don't know that well who are around us. And we pray that we would have the heart for them that you have. And we pray you'd help us to figure out what it means to be neighborly again. Thank you. We love you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night, everyone.
Good night, all. Be safe.
I'm going to go buy some black top now, Greg.